Stick a same game multi on the NRL with Bluebet and get more bang for your buck. Bluebet, the true blue Aussie bookie. T's and C's apply. Gamble responsibly. The Rush Hour. Gus Warland, Jude Bolton, and Wendell Saylor. This is the Triple M Rush Hour.
Yeah, g'day everybody. Welcome to the Rush Hour. We've got no Gus today because Gus is in Orange. Well, actually, Jude and Wendell, I should let you tell the story of where Gus is today, Jude.
Yes, well, Gus has gone down to Orange to do a Gotcha for Life talk, and he has ended up in hospital.
Why?
Let's just say he's got a hernia and he's having surgery, we believe. So we wish you all the best, Gussie. I bet he's listening in and probably in recovery.
Yeah.
But so he's as high as a kite at the moment, but we'll be right.
Well, yeah, we love our Gussie, but it's probably a good time for him to have a bit of a break, you know.
He goes hard.
Yeah, well, this show does go to Triple M Orange, and we've got plenty of good contacts up there in that neck of the woods that'll take care of Gussie. But he's having a week off, so it's maroon here. I'm just stepping in to keep the seat warm.
I think it's a step up. I honestly think it is a step up, and it's Origin week, so it's you're primed.
It's great, isn't
you
it?
Are primed, mate.
But it's funny if you're me though, Jude, because like you know, there's nothing to do for like 6 weeks, and then there's like 24 different things to do in 5 days.
Perfect, you know? And this is Dell's time to shine as well.
Mate, of course it is, guys. Origin time for me, but you know, I'm just happy that I'm here and. I'm lucky to be here, just actually, to be honest.
You went down to Cambosis fight yesterday.
Yeah, I had a couple of days down there, just networking and just getting down there. And, mate, it was great. We'll talk about it later, but it was a great vibe down in Melbourne. It's sort of my first holiday in 2.5 years, and I think I deserved it.
What do you mean lucky to get back? You mean stuck down in the nightclubs down there?
No,
what do you mean?
Well, mate, the plane, the airport, it was delayed an hour. So now some of my mates in the flights, the flights have been cancelled. Only one runway open, so he can't get until 6:30 tonight. So I'm lucky to be here.
Yeah. So you saw George Cambosis, but is it true you caught up with George Columbaris as well, the other George?
Yeah, I saw him out one night there with Nathan Buckley. So I went to a couple of little bars and that, you know, I was just networking. So.
You sound like you're wearing a snorkel. Your voice is a bit. You sound like Bonnie Tyler, mate. What's going on with your voice?
Well, mate, what happens too, when you're down there at the boxing, mate, you're cheering and then I'm talking to people, because you know what I'm like. Once I start talking to people, it's hard for me to shut up.
Yeah.
I was talking to everybody. So.
Yeah. He's the only bloke that has 5 3-quarter conversations with 2 different people.
He's in amongst everything. Yeah. The social butterfly.
It's the Rush Hour on Triple M. Normally it'd be Gus, Jude and Wendell, but you'd know by now that Gus has a hernia and he is lying in Orange Hospital waiting for a doctor to attend to his problem. And we expect him back. Well, he's not coming back this week, Jude, because I'm booked in for at least
a whole week.
And
Orange
I'm getting every cent of it.
What a great week to have you on, mate.
How good, Origin.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Game one.
Yeah.
But let's do this. This is normally Gus's all-rounder sports quiz.
Okay, time for
let's
this.
Get a go.
Whether you're on the train, in the car, or on the buses, it's Gus's Big Sports Quiz. Download the DoorDash app now for 30% off your first 4 orders. Minimum order value $20. New DoorDash customers only.
Yeah, but this is going to be hard for me because I only know what I do know is all about NRL.
Well, so, no, you know a lot more. You know, you're
going to be surprised how much sport knowledge in that. Yeah. Little brain of yours, mate. I know. But so the way this operates, Maroon, is we go one for one with a listener, and I'm going to bring to the Rush Hour Harry from Surry Hills. How are you, Harry?
Good, guys. How are you?
Very well. Great to have you on board. How's your sport knowledge?
Oh, mate, you know, I'd say it's modest. All right. It's not great. It's not, you know, it's not terrible. It's not great. Somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, that's probably a bit like Dell. And let's just say he is your phone a friend and he does have the answers in front. You can use him once throughout the quiz, not in the tiebreaker.
Okay.
Here it is. So it's one for one. Maroon, you're going to be first.
Righto.
First question. Nottingham Forest have climbed to the Premier League again. How many years have they been out of the top competition?
Yeah. Okay, well, I do know this one because I saw it on the news online or something. I'm going to say 23 years.
Wow.
Is it 20? There you go.
On.
23 years.
He's on the board.
Yeah.
See, that's pretty solid. That's a good start.
See, that's a current affairs question.
Don't underestimate.
Come on, Harry. I want you to beat him.
Come on, Harry. We need you. Rafa Nadal won the French Open last night, Harry. What number major trophy was that for him?
Oh, jeez, I saw this one. Was it 21 or 22? I'm going to say 22.
Well, yes. You can't have two answers. You've chosen 22, and that is the correct answer. All right, Maroon, back to you.
Okay, we're on.
Maroon, Boston pulled off a stunning fourth quarter comeback to shock Golden State in game one of the NBA Finals. Mm-hmm. Who won game two this morning?
Ah, game two this morning.
50-50 chance.
I'm going to go with the same team that won last night.
Hang on. What? That is the wrong answer. They played the other day. Yeah. So it's Golden State.
It's one.
Oh, sorry, do you want, will we edit that?
You're good to go. Yeah,
sorry,
all
right, boys.
Harry.
Yep.
Who knocked the Waratahs out in the Super Rugby quarterfinals over the weekend?
I know this.
Oh, geez. You know, that's the game that I missed. I missed that one.
If you want,
I'm your friend, buddy.
If you want Dell, you can use him or you hold off.
Let's ask Dell. Let's see. What's he got to say?
The Chiefs, my friend. Waikato Chiefs.
Oh, okay.
Hang on. Doesn't he give him a clue? He just give him the answer.
No, he gives him the answer.
Hang on. You give me the hard questions and you give him the easy ones and then Dell answers them.
You need this. You need this to at least
Can't we have
the
a
game?
Rugby league question?
Okay, we've got one for you.
Okay.
Which team
is
currently fourth on the NRL ladder?
All right. It's going to be, okay, so it's Melbourne, Penrith. I'm going to say Broncos.
Yes. Yeah. You know it.
He's too good. He's too
good. Okay. Harry, this is for the win though. Here it is.
Okay.
Which nation qualified for the FIFA World Cup overnight, their first time since 1958?
Harry.
I know this one.
You know, I was watching it too. I'm going to say, was it Wales?
Yes! You've won, mate, the $100 DoorDash voucher.
Wow.
Download the DoorDash app now for 30% off your first four orders. Minimum order value, $20. New DoorDash customers only. Great work, Harry.
Oh, thanks, guys. It's great. It's going to go down super well.
Yeah. Well done, mate.
Good on you, Harry. Congratulations. Harry. You've won the DoorDash prize. This is the Rush Hour. Up next, when did your kids run amok? We're going to take your calls next on the Rush Hour podcast.
The Rush Hour. Gus, Jude and Wendell.
This is the Rush Hour on Triple M. No Gus today. He's off with a hernia. Maroon filling in Jude and Wendell. And we do it thanks to Bluebet, the true blue Aussie bookie, the little Aussie battler of the betting world. We love an Aussie battler. Bet Australian with Bluey. Download the Bluebet app for iPhone and Android. Hello to Sully and hello to Duncan, Jude, who I see getting his coffee there in the People's Republic of Little Bay every other morning.
He says you walk the little dog down there
all the
time.
Yes, I do.
Little foxy, is it?
That's right.
You had a friend, some bloke used to go walking with all the time.
Oh, I've got lots of friends I go walking with.
I know, but it's good. He used to say hello to you. But you know what? He came through that era with me and Joey. So he played New South Wales under-18s. He's a pretty fair player too, just quietly.
Yeah, he's a good bloke too, Duncan. Yeah. All right, now you guys. I know you're a royal watcher, Jude, but Dell's been out on the weekend having a bit of a good old time in Melbourne.
He missed the entire Jubilee most of her Jubilee.
I saw it. And to be honest, I don't want to big note myself, but I've had dinner with Prince William and Kate Middleton, and I've also met Prince Harry. But anyway,
can we just hear a little bit about that? What happened there?
Okay, so this will shock you. Through the World Cup, England beat us, and we're at the bar. This will shock you. I was at a bar, cargo bar, having a drink, and Prince Harry was there with about eight of his mates. They were all in the shots and that, and we're having drinks. And next minute, Bill Young wants to have a photo with Prince Harry, and Prince Harry was having none of it. So
Bill gave him the stiff arm.
And then over at St. Andrews, we had a golf day over there for the Barbarians, and Kate Middleton and Prince William came out to dinner with us.
Wow.
And I was lucky enough, there was one seat spare. Have a guess where? In front of Kate Middleton.
Oh,
so
imagine.
I took one for the team and Maddie Burke was left to me. So I talked her ears off too that time.
I was just going to imagine her ears would have been, her head would have been pounding. You telling her four half stories and then going on to the next one and showing her something on your phone.
He's showing her his highlights. I was being really humble. I was just being really humble and just sort of, I knew it was, you know, we had royalty in the room.
All right. Well, look, for anybody who, sorry, Jude.
No, I was going to say Prince Louis, though.
Yeah. From anyone who missed it, he's amused the crowds during the final event of the Platinum Jubilee celebration. The four-year-old seemingly struggled to sit still and he amused onlookers by pulling a wide array of exaggerated expressions, clenching fists, jumping up and down. I think he poked his tongue out at his mum and put his hands over her mouth.
He took over the show.
Yeah. Which kids will be kids, mate?
Mate, my kids run amok, and yeah. I've had them all. Like, they just go ballistic at times, usually when they're sugar overload or something like that, or they're overtired, and they just, for me, the biggest time that they've run amok, my oldest daughter, Ciara, she's 10 now, but it would have been when she was 4 or 5. Mm. And we're doing some grocery shopping, just me and her, and walking through, and she's just wandering around the place going crazy, and then has the tantrum in the middle of the aisle. Yeah. And the aisle was pretty much empty at the time. Someone came around, and she's laying on the ground having the full tantrum.
Yeah.
And I'm sort of peering around going, whose kid is this? Like, trying to look like it's not mine at that stage. And then I've had to just pick her up on the shoulder and, you know, hitting you on the back. And it's like, I'm just going to get tapped on the shoulder and say, is that your kid? Have you actually stolen this kid out of the place?
How good.
They just run amok. Mm. I know our listeners will have those moments where they've either taken over a wedding or just been absolute little brats at different stages.
Well, Del, your kids have probably experienced you doing it.
Yeah, that's right.
The other way around.
They've had to pull me in the line, but they're obviously, they parent me. Like, even my daughter goes, hey, big man, you better settle down, okay? Like, so, yeah, so T-Zone's me, but... Mm. Matisse is more like me than Tristan is. So I like to load her up on sugar and soft drinks. So she's certainly like me, and she loves her snacks like me.
Well, you know, when you're little and your kids, you can't find them, you know, like
yes.
for a minute, but it feels like they've been gone. Where are they? Where are they? My kids used to hide.
Yeah.
You know, oh, freak me right out. Anyway, maybe you've got a better story than ours. Central Coast, Henry, take it away, old mate.
Well, boys, I've got to say, it's Henry here / Hen from Gussie on the trivia there the other week.
Yes, Hen.
Yes, Hen. Hey, how are you, mate?
Yeah, good. I've got a 3-year-old, and I don't know where he got it, but he loves the F word recently. Mm. Oh. We're walking along the other day, kicks his toe on a bit of concrete and looks at me, Dad, F that hurt.
Wow. They say it in just the right times, don't they?
Oh, he said it at exactly the right time, and it was, you know, there's people there look straight down at him, and I said, Duck, where's the duck? But hey, a couple of things, guys. I just want to say this. You know, best wishes to Gussie. And another thing, mate, the guy who's holding court there today, Marie. I met him last year at the Bob Peters charity golf day. Legend of a guy. Love you very much, Maroon.
Oh, thanks, Henry.
Oh, yeah. Look at that.
And how is our mate Bobby Peters?
Yeah.
Mate, to be honest, he's battling.
Right.
He's, you know, He's fighting the good fight, but it's very tough for him at this point, you know. But throughout all that, mates like you, you know, you've made it good for him, and we're holding court with him.
Okay, well, we'll just have another lunch for him. Good on you, Henry. And Bobby Peters, everyone in radio loves you, old mate. I hope you're okay.
Good on you, mate.
And thanks, Henry. Patrick's in Seaforth. Patrick, that's all yours, mate.
When your kids run amok?
Oh, g'day, boys. So it was actually my older brother, so... I was an angel child, obviously, the angel of the family. But at church, we used to be altar boys. my older brother used to play around, and one time he sort of fell asleep on the candle and went up in flames. The whole thing went up in flames. So he was running around the church. My uncle had to get up and run over and sort of, it was a bit like a fireball running out, and then he just ran out the side door, so, and then church kept going for us, so.
So you were the Saint Patrick and he was the sinner, was he?
Exactly, I am the Saint Patrick, that's where my name comes from, so he is, well, it's he's on fire in church, so what does that tell you?
It's interesting that you said he fell asleep on the candle.
On the candle, yeah. Mm.
So what do you mean, like his arm fell on the candle and then away?
Yeah, well, it was sort of, you sort of hold him. There's one part of the church where you're sort of standing there holding the candle.
Right.
And he sort of drifted off on them. Probably not the best timing, to be fair.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, well, that's a good story. It's a pity it happened in church, though, mate, you know?
Yeah, I know.
But your poor brother, he probably hasn't been back to church since, but thank you, Patrick. It's the Rush Hour on Triple M. Del, Jude and Maroon filling in for Gus Wallen, who's just having a few days in hospital, getting a hernia sorted out. It's been a massive news overnight in Aussie sport for one particular female, and she's put in long and hard, and Jude, we got a result there.
Incredible effort by Minji Lee, who's just become the third Australian to win the US Open, Women's Open, storming home to a massive 4-shot win at Pine Needles, mate. So... what a payday. Yeah. $2.5 million for just an incredible effort. And So if no Australian has won the US Women's Open since her idol, Carrie Webb went back-to-back in 2001. And then, of course, Jan Stevenson, who won 1983 for her third and final major. So just a fantastic effort. And it's great to see, you know, obviously the pay as well, you know, coming to women's sport, which is long overdue as well.
She's worked long and hard, obviously. And hopefully on the back of the $2.5 million, few endorsement deals, a couple of bits and pieces here and there.
Well, that's why I'm keen to make sure people are aware of this, because it was sort of, you know, she was storming to the lead and there wasn't enough media attention about how well she's playing. So WA girl and just doing amazing things. So hopefully goes on to bigger, even better stuff. And also Rafa won the French Open. Just 6-3, 6-3, 6-love against Casper Ruud. Becomes the oldest men's champion in history in Roland Garros, and wins Roland Garros in the same year for the first time and the Australian Open, and extends his record for the most Grand Slam titles won at a single event to 14 times.
That's outrageous.
14.
I love the way that I reckon he's evolved again, Rafa. You know, like he had that break and then everyone thought he was gone, and then he finds something. I mean, I know where Roger is, but Roger, unlucky, bros.
And then in the NBA Finals, the last bit of the world sport, NBA Finals, Golden State won game 2, 107-88. So Boston won the first. So game 3 is Thursday at 11 a.m. Sydney time. So it's a Boston home game. So big, big sort of world sport, but it's great to see Minji Lee.
In the lead up to Origin Game 1, these are the Rush Hour's biggest Origin moments of all time.
Yeah, well, Origin time once again. I believe we have the best Origin call team on deck on Wednesday night, led by Dan Ganane and Origin legends as well. And like I always say, Jude, people often listen to the call on the radio because they're working. They're driving a truck or they're cleaners or they're hospital staff. Can't get in front of the TV, listen to Dan's call.
Epic
and I think
call.
You'll be very, very pleased with that. And our Origin moment here, we go back to 2004. Our friend, a beautiful man that we've known for some 25 years, a Kai Emma boy, the great Sean Timmins.
Oh, yeah.
He kicks that 2004 field goal in the 83rd minute. Can we have a listen to the audio?
Let's do it.
8 points all. We are in golden point extra time. A shot from Timmins has got the height. It's got the length, and the crowd goes up. Hempstead awards the point. The Blues have won it. The Blues have won Origin 1.
Yes, indeed. And I've done lots and lots of lunches with Timo. He tells that story, and you would think he, you know, invented a cure for cancer by the time he's finished.
Yeah, but it is a big moment.
It is, mate,
I love when we bring it up and he brings it up. He doesn't always bring it up, but isn't it funny that that was a match-winning play? Unbelievable. I mean, he's had about 30 operations, Sean Timmins, but then for the Steelers, he misses that one from left of the post to win the game from at North Sydney Oval.
Yeah, that's right.
Craig Fitzgibbon was player of the series, and that was a series that Phil Gould coaxed Brad Fittler out of retirement for game 2.
Yeah, wow. You've got a great memory for the Jude.
Does his research play? Yeah, he loves footy.
Was there, that was the, was there some dramas with the
that was the Gaznier and the few incidents pre-series. Then Billy Slater, 20-year-old.
Yes.
Amazing try.
That unforgettable try.
Yeah.
That was, wasn't it? That was a game.
Like freakish.
Every afternoon I'd have to go out the backyard with my kid and he'd kick over the top. He'd be the Billy Slater. Yeah.
That's what I love now, the evolution of Billy Slater as a coach now.
Who's going to produce something Wednesday night, you reckon?
Oh, mate, I think Kalen Ponga. But even young Cobbo, I just think Cobbo, he's made for that. He won't get overawed by that. I know Gus Gould thinks that he might be a bit young and underdone for Origin, but let me tell you, that's the big stage. That's when you stand up.
Is that the exciting thing for you when you're calling big games like that? Mm. There is, that could be that moment that forever is just etched in history.
Yeah, you hope so. You hope so. I just hope to call a big game, really, to tell you the truth, Jude. No, Dan does the Origin and the Grand Final. But I love listening to Dan.
Yeah.
And I just hope for a big game with a close finish. Really, that's all I hope for. And obviously a New South Wales win.
Yeah, let me ask you this. Ray Warren, are you surprised by that? How hard is it to come in and call one game? Mm. Would that be hard to do?
Well, I mean, you know, I think it would be if you've had the whole year off. But I suppose when you've been doing it as long as Rabs. But I think all of us commentators, we're all 8 car lengths behind him. He is the greatest of all time, but I have to say we are all inspired by him because he has just been the best rugby league commentator since I was 8 years old. And I love him. And knowing him, it's beautiful. And I just wish him all the best in his life.
Up next, Wendell, you've had a big weekend. Of course you have. At the George Kambosos fight in Melbourne. You'll tell us about it next.
This is the Triple M Rush Hour.
Now, moving right along to the boxing in Melbourne over the weekend. You went down there for the boxing, and from what I can gather, you might have spent about 2 minutes watching the boxing. What? Tell us what you saw.
No, I just there's a really good vibe in Melbourne. Obviously, flew on there Saturday afternoon, about 5:30, 6 o'clock. Went to dinner, went to some nice bars, and just made sure I got the nice rhythm. There's because, mate, don't forget, the last 2.5 years. We've just come out of lockdown.
Yeah.
So people, I think there was 40,000 at Marvel Stadium.
You didn't lose your voice in front of those 41,000.
Yes, I did. I was cheering for George, you know. So, come on, George. And then obviously some nice food, some nice, you know what? And when I go to Melbourne, the place I don't go to is the Crown Casino. My mate goes, oh, let's go to the Crown. I said, I could not think, I like the Crown, but I don't want to go to the Crown. I want to go to nice little bars, see people, catch up with people. So I caught up with some friends there. And but the boxing was great. George Kambosos, can I tell you, mate, what a great man. What a humble person. Haney was great. Haney controlled the fight.
Did you get a sense that like he was beating him at that stage, though, throughout the fight, Haney?
Well, I just think just his boxing craft and just – he obviously did his homework on George – and he was just in front of him the whole time, and he just seemed like he had another level on George. And I got to say, George was tough. You know, the crowd were getting behind George, and unfortunately, he didn't get the, you know, obviously didn't get the win. But mate, I just a massive respect for him. I actually messaged him last night because we went out there and interviewed him
at the ferocious gym,
and I just said, I'm really proud of you. And he just texted me back this afternoon, mate. Thanks for support. Hoping for a rematch.
There is a chance for the rematch, and also if Haney went up to the next weight division, it would release all belts. So. That would then open up a potential fight for Lomachenko and Ferocious George.
And I'm happy for George Kambosos Jr. because, mate, one thing about him, someone told me in and around the boxing game that what he's done for this, it could be worth $10 to $13 million payday for him. Yeah, so I don't know what Haney got paid, but you think where George has come from, what he's done, the way he's carried himself, and even when he lost that fight, just the way he spoke after was quite humbling.
Did you see anyone famous whilst at the Marvel Stadium?
I saw a lot of people.
But yeah, well, you would be able to rattle one off, wouldn't you, if you saw some?
You know what I saw? I saw George.
Colin Burris.
I saw him out and about.
He wasn't boxing.
I saw Dave Hughes out. I saw Wayne Carey. I saw heaps of people out and about. It was
Nathan Buckley.
Yeah, I caught up with him. And an old mate of yours, Nick Rushen.
Oh, Nick
Rushen.
So,
yeah, it was great. It was just a really good vibe in Melbourne, and I'm really happy I'm home.
It's the Rush Hour on Triple M Maroon, filling in for Gus, Jude and Wendell, and it's time for this.
When man first discovered the wheel, our next guest started his long, long rugby league career, having played a massive 346 games over 5 clubs. He's captained New Zealand and taken them to 2 World Cups. He was the all-time point scorer at the West Tigers, and he did this.
Marshall's still going. Marshall's got Richards coming up outside. Now inside. Richards pursued. He pushes Jensen away. Pat Richards has scored.
Welcome back, legend Benji Marshall.
Well, you know, we always boys refer to him as rugby league royalty, but now in the Queen's Birthday Honours, Benji Marshall has been awarded a Companion of the New Zealand Order of Merit. This is Benji. Congratulations.
Thanks,
to
mate.
You, mate.
Thank you.
That, I mean, how do you feel about that?
Well, with that music now, I feel very royal. I actually feel like I'm part of the Queen's Jubilee celebrations.
Well, so you should.
Fantastic.
Jude, not many of us get... I mean, I will never be.
Do we have to bow? Or what do we do now?
Nothing. It's just an award, you know what I mean? Like, when you boys know, when you play, you don't play for recognition or awards or that sort of things.
Did the email go through and you almost
I was looking for an email and I went through my junk emails and there's about 9 from Maroon that were unread and not answered. And it said Royal Honour in the email. I was like, there's no way. So I opened it and it was Order of Merit.
But Benji, what I like about you, I followed your career. My young bloke was lucky enough to be with you at the Dragons. Mate, you're big on family. You're big on just being yourself. And just when you play football, like you change the game, mate. You change the game. Oh, kids wanted to be you. No, you did. But even every time that I'd met you, whether it was the Tigers or with Lottie or someone or Bowie Ryan as our mate, mate, you're always just who you are. And that's what I love seeing with you and your family.
Nah, thanks, man. That means a lot.
Yeah.
Hey, just quick one. Your response to Nathan Brown's comments around going into a game and only looking to compete. What were your thoughts?
Well, I just thought, you know, as a player, I don't know if you guys were the same, but I actually went into every game thinking I could win every game.
Absolutely.
You know, like not thinking, oh, we probably might lose today. And we're just, as long as we compete, that's all good. You know, it was probably didn't mean it that way, but it was like a little bit of alarm bells for me.
But if that's filtering down.
Well, their performances have probably said that a bit. You know, they've lost five in a row now. And some of the players' comments after the game, like young Reece Walsh, I felt sorry for him having to front up after that performance, but there's a lot of honesty around the way they played, and they're just not going great at the moment. You know, it's a tough time for the Warriors.
Some of them have obviously got family in New Zealand bench, but for the most part, as I understand, they live on the sunny coast. They live in their own houses with their own families. So
pretty good lifestyle.
It's not as a lot of people imagine that they're all living in like a bunker situation. They're all in bunk beds.
No, they all live in their own places. Sean Johnson's probably the exception. His wife and daughter lives in New Zealand, which would be tough on him. So I reckon he's probably looking forward to getting home. I know that would affect me being away from my family, but they're not making excuses about their situation. I think people are just bringing that up. Like no one's saying, oh, we should be back in New Zealand. They're not anyway. That's just, I think, outside perception. But they need to find a way to turn it around. I said earlier about, I think for Sean Johnson especially, like he's gone to a club where they've said, you come in and be a game manager. Well, I think he's better at just going out and playing footy and trying to win the games. I don't want him pointing around telling everyone else what to do. I'd love to see him with the footy flowing, flick passes, doing sidesteps and trying to win the games. You know what I mean? Where you can get in that mindset and get stuck there.
What about, can we ask you about Origin? I mean, everybody's talking about the guys on debut with Queensland.
Yeah.
But any side, Benj, and you'd know this better than anyone, with a 6 and 7 that have had such success at club level, at Origin level, it's going to make a heck of a difference.
Well, absolutely. Imagine some of those Queensland boys. You'd know this, Wendell. Mm. Those young guys, they walk into the camp. They see Billy Slater, Cameron Smith, Jonathan Thurston, Josh Hannay, Nate Miles.
Yeah.
They'll be buzzing in that environment. And as you guys know, when you get to representative games, you don't have to be the best game plan. It's not about that. It's about turning up for your mates. But, you know, if your mate makes a mistake, back him up. If he misses a tackle, you're there to cover it.
Benji, your tribute dinner on Thursday night. Mate, what's in store there?
Yeah, testimonial dinner. It's crazy because my mum and my brother, who I haven't seen for 3 years, flew in from New Zealand yesterday. So we're doing a bit of a golf tour week this week, boys. We played at Terry Hills this morning, the Aussie tomorrow, St. Michael's Wednesday, Concord Thursday, New South Wales Friday.
You'll be striking them.
So with your uncles and aunties, how many did you say in the family? It's a big family.
My mum's the youngest of 16. And 9 of them are coming for Thursday night.
Wow.
Started the own flight.
Yeah, mate, I've got 108 first cousins on my mum's side of the family.
That's Ben Hannon's only got 8 kids. That sounds like nothing. Hey, it's great to catch up with you, mate, and congratulations on the honour.
Good to see you, mate. You're looking great, actually.
And so are you, too, and I'm glad to see you playing a bit of golf.
Yeah.
I don't want to be walking the dog on some mix on Thursday and see you there, mate, so let's not cross paths on the golf course.
No worries.
This is the Rush Hour on Triple M. Gus, Jude and Wendell, but no Gus today. He's off crook. I'm filling in. My name is Maroon Dell and Jude. Jude, an interesting story there about what somebody's found in a couch.
Yeah, in California, a woman who received a couch from a stranger online for free was shocked to make the discovery of a lifetime inside it, Dell. She found a whopping $49,000 in the cash tucked away in the bottom of the secondhand couch. She said she was looking through Craigslist to purchase furniture for a new home when she found some lounge suite that someone was giving away for free. Mm. However, after moving the pieces into her home, Vicky, this lady, noticed something hard inside one of the couch cushions. Opening the cover, she was shocked to find the $49,000. Wow. Now, as a thank you, she actually gave the money back to the family and returned the money to them. But the family gave her a $3,000 new fridge. So
wow.
But it reminded us of a call we had the other day. We had Luke online.
G'day, Lukey. What did you find in council pickup?
Old school armchair. We brought it home. Didn't think much of it. Threw it in the lounge room. A couple of months later, we couldn't find our kitten. And the kitten had got up in the lining of the couch. So I flipped the chair over, cut the lining open to get the cat out. And I found rolled up in $50 notes, $100 notes, $18,500.
What?
Wow. That reminds me of a story. You guys you probably don't remember. About 25 years ago, this guy, you know, in the old days, we used to go through the telly trading if you had to buy a car.
Yes, yes.
And this bloke went over to DY to buy a Valiant. Car lovers, it was a CL Valiant. That was the model. And anyway, he gives the guy whatever the guy wanted, $1,200. But the car is an absolute piece of crap. He gets it home, everything on its cactus, it's full of rust. So he starts pulling it apart, trying to, you know, and he finds one of those scratchies, the old school scratchies, and scratches up $10,000.
What?
Yes.
What?
Yes.
That's like my mum, obviously, you know, she's such a sweetheart, very humble woman. So she picked me up from Bullet Disco one night, and there was like there was a Tupperware in the middle of the road, like a Tupperware container. And she goes, I just grabbed the Tupperware container. I went, Mum, no way. She goes, go grab it. I'll go outside the car at about 11 o'clock at night. I grabbed it. There was $1,000 in that Tupperware container.
Wow.
So I thought my mum would take it to the police station, but she sat on it and then, like, I love you, Mum, but yeah, so there's $1,000 and there was, like, grey, like, hundreds and, like, $1 notes and all that sort of stuff. So anyway, so thanks.
That was the takings from the blue light.
No, it wasn't.
All right.
But 133353, what's your second-hand win? And let's go Richard from Penrith. How are you, Richard?
G'day, mate. How you going?
Welcome to the Rush Hour, mate. What was your big second-hand win?
What's it called? During that first COVID lockdown, sort of out of work, and picked up a bit of work, just cleaning up a bit of a tip area.
Yep.
And the guy goes, just jump on the bobcat, do what you can. Yeah, no worries. And after about a week, he goes, I reckon you could build me a bit of a driveway through here. I'm like, yeah, no worries. All good. Got into it. And I'm looking at it. I'm like, I'll just give it one more scrape. Gave it one more scrape and pop, this rusty old tin fell out of the ground. We've just rolled up bundles of 50s and 100s.
Wow.
I went, Jesus, I'm a bit out of work at the moment. There's my COVID payment for the support payment.
That's crazy. How much was it?
How much? And then kept going. Sorry?
How much was it in total?
It was about $12,000.
Nice, and, Richard.
Sort of my wife was freaking out. She goes, someone's going to be looking. I said, I'm not kidding, hun. This was a foot under the ground.
Yeah.
It's probably been there for years.
Yeah.
I sort of thought it must have just got tipped there. With rubbish that was all there.
Yeah, right. Well, you've told everyone now, so.
Yeah. No.
Was it the old paper notes, Richard, or the new Polly, name?
They were new, but they weren't new, obviously. They were well under the.
What'd you spend it on, Richard? What'd you spend it on?
Petrol.
To be honest, I had this whole plan. I was like, I'm going to buy some car parts, maybe buy all these kind of things, and then after about a year, I was like, how much do I have left?
Blew it all.
All right. Let's go to Swansea up there in Newcastle. Gordon, here we go.
How you doing?
Yeah, good, mate. Good. What's yours?
What was your second
ending? Well, mine hasn't got a pretty ending, but my daughter was working in a shop, and she went outside for a cigarette, and she looked in the pot plant, you know, these big pot plants they put outside the shops and so forth, and she sees a wallet, and it was really jam-packed. Anyway, she grabbed it and took it in, and then she rang me and says, Dad, this wallet's just like, can't close it. It's got so much money in it. What do I do? And I says, well, it's not yours. And I said, has it got any license or anything, anything in it? She goes, no, nothing. Anyway, so I said, look, ring the police. I says, it's just not worth taking the risk. Could be a setup, could be anything.
Yeah.
Cop shop was only across the road. She rings the cop shop. They come over. They count the money out. It was $21,200. And they said, no one claims it, it's yours, sign for it. She rings the police station 2 days later. Police said, look, they found the owner. It was a person who had dementia and they lost it. Oh. And they claimed it and they don't want to be identified and let it go. So she did. And I said to her, hey, it's better to do that than live with a conscience of money that's not yours and you don't know what the ramifications could have been. So I'm glad she rang me.
Thank you, Gordon. Moral of the story there, if you find a wallet with $21,000 in it, don't take it to the police station. we're just kidding.
Up next, the big set of six from the Big Dell.
The Rush Hour on Triple M. Lucky someone in the Rush Hour can count. This is Dell's big set of six.
Yeah.
With everything from produce to general goods and so much more, you're bound to find a bargain at Paddy's. Over to you, Dell.
Yes, indeed. Okay, over to you, Jude. Yeah. Kick it off, the big set at six.
Tackle one, Dell. Canberra bounce back after their loss to the Eels. How much can the Green Machine capitalise on the Roosters' victory?
Oh, man, I think for their confidence and then the way they're playing, you know, against Parramatta, they come up a bit short, but their winning form over the last, you know, 6 or 7 weeks has given them confidence. And Ricky Stewart's got them humming. They've got some good young players there, young Savage and that. And also on the back of Jared Croker, obviously he's going to be, you know, he's probably looking at retirement now. They've got some really good young talent there. And, mate, the Raiders, I reckon they can get a real run into the eight.
Tackle two, the setback now for Latrell on the return from the hamstring injury with him testing positive for COVID. What impact should South's fans expect from him in the back half of the season?
Look, I think Latrell's big energy. He brings confidence to your team. It's like when you watch AFL and, you know, you got Buddy there. When Latrell comes back in, he gives you confidence. So we just got to make sure there's going to be all right with his injury. And you don't want him injured to the back half of the season. And Maroon, you know this. You're a South man. Mm. If they're going to do anything through those final series, Latrell's got to be there. He's their big energy man.
Absolutely.
Tackle three, Jake Trbojevic put in a big performance after his omission from the Origin team. Will selectors regret the decision not to have him in the squad come Wednesday night?
Look, I don't think they're going to regret it, but I just think even for Jake, because Manly's form's been down, I think, you know, obviously, you know, people are going, oh, mate, you know, he's a trundler, his leg speed. Let me tell you, when New South Wales are winning and Manly were winning, Jake Trbojevic was at the cornerstone of that. Mm. Jake's not finished with yet. I got no doubt that he can evolve and he can get an opportunity. But the thing for New South Wales, you've got so many back rowers and so many good forwards. Mm. So Freddie's got a luxury there. So he'll be back, Jakey boy.
Yeah, Dell's big set of six. Four brawling players risk biggest fines ever in Origin judiciary revamp.
Look, I don't mind. Players are getting paid good money. I'd rather see players get fined than suspended and miss club games. Because I think, you know, in Origin, we wind the boys up. It's, you know, it's gladiatorial. It's a coliseum. And it's even
you
like
want that combativeness, don't
yes,
you?
But even like Joey Johns at a luncheon the other day, he just said he'd like to see the old punch come yeah. back. And I think we've gone too far for that. And you know, like Joey was talking about when Jamie Goddard snotted him and that.
Yeah.
Mate, part of us would like to see that back, but we need to evolve and go past that. But I'm happy with fines because then clubs don't miss out on their rep players.
Tackle five, the young Panthers players coming through during Origin. Salary cap pressure in the future, Dell.
Yeah, look, but that's what happens with, you know, when you win premierships. And even this year, I had the Panthers up there in and around sort of the top two, top three. But I just think that they're a level above any team at the moment. And the best thing is, even like young players like Taylan May, when they come in, like he was freakish the other night, but it's a winning culture. The Dogs, that was their best team the other night. I know Dogs aren't going that well, but, mate, the Panthers, it's a confident outfit, but also out there at Penrith, they're just loving what their team's doing.
Mm, tackle six, couple of coaches, few coaches, in fact, under the pump, under real pressure. I hate this because, you know, these are good blokes. Michael Maguire, Nathan Brown, Justin Holbrook at the Gold Coast Titans. He's got to come under some sort of microscope now.
Yeah, there's no doubt. You know, obviously, you know, they let Fogarty go to Canberra and then, you know, they've got a young spine there and the Titans aren't playing well. You know, I feel sorry for Madge because, you know, there's always questions. And then we talk about, you know, the coaches and their mental health as well, but we have to have an opinion on that. And even Nathan Brown now, he's coming under some pressure too, you know, with his comments about, you know, just
being competitive rather
than... Yeah. Mate, if I'm a Warriors membership person, I want to hear that my club wants to win and go into games, you know, with a winning, you know, knowledge and feeling.
Well, that's it for today's podcast. For more of the show, you can catch us live on the radio tomorrow from 4 on Triple M.